being in the house of the Lord. Can we say one more time? Can we say one more time? Songwriter said, we did not have to make it in, but God has been good. In spite of what we are not, God has been good. Amen. How many really have the testimony that when we think about faults, anybody ever look at, I know it's easy to see other people's faults, but have you looked at our faults? And we think of all of our faults. Amen. We can truly say God is good. Because God looked beyond all of my faults, and he saw my needs. I'm not going to worry about your faults, hallelujah, because I can't give an account for you in a sense, and in another sense, I have to give an account. But we're talking about a personal salvation. I can't give an account for your salvation personally. I can't give an account as the shepherd. But it's important that the Bible said that we work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. And if there ever was a time when people who seem to be looking at everybody else instead of themselves, man, that's the time. But before we go too far, somebody told me they know our theme. Who was? Somebody called said, Sister Sharina, right? Right? Sister Sharina, that was you. Amen. She said, I learned those verses. Amen. But if you can't learn the verses yet, learn the theme. The theme is believing God against all odds. Amen. When you think of odds, that means everything is stacked against you. But how many know God is able? How many know that God is able? And God can do anything but fail. Amen. Just one announcement before we go any further. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be leaving for Bishops. When we were at a low point in our ministry, and we needed direction and leadership, you know, Dr. Olson was here. She said, well, why don't you call my bishop? I said, bishop, by the way, I have no time to talk to a person that he does not know. She said, well, just give it a try. And I called, and he spoke to me like I was his best friend. And that's why he became one of my best friends. You know, he took us under his wing, and he had told the congregation while we were there on Sunday, he said, when they needed a covering, he said, I said yes. You know, so we, as a congregation, just make a sacrifice. And I don't force you what amount to put on your heart, amen. Just do it cheerfully, amen. Because God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. I'm not going to go through our scriptures about believing God against all odds because we know them. But my concern is, for us as a church locally, but then the church of God globally, are the influences. Amen. They're influences. Now we know there's only two gods in this world, right? There's God and then the God of all the universe and everything, then there's a God of this world. One of those two gods will influence you. And the thought that God has been dealing with me about, and we sort of brought it out a little bit in our seminar, amen. First Lady acted like she was shy when we were in Georgia, and she couldn't do her seminar, right? But then she acted like she was shy in both Georgias when we got to Bishop Church. But who was jumping and hopping and praising the Lord? I said, thank God she's shy. If she wasn't shy, I wouldn't even got a chance to preach. Amen. But nevertheless, but what the focus truly, I'm talking about who wants to really be saved? Amen. Salvation comes from God. Amen. And if salvation comes from God, we want to be open, pure, and clean before God. But there are two influences. There's either God is going to influence you, or the world, and the God of this world. Everything that's orchestrated in the world is orchestrated by the God of this world. That's why the Lord told the children of Israel, when they came out, he said, woe unto them to go down to Egypt for help, because Egypt was spiritually a type of the world. So we have those influences. With that being said, let us stand as we turn to Colossians chapter 2. So our message tonight is, what is influencing you?
God or
the world?
What's influencing you? What makes you do what you do? What makes you think like you think? What makes you act like you act? Is it an action from God or is it an action from the world? Amen. So we're going to really read verses 1 through 8 of Colossians. What are the influences that dominate you? You know, I was speaking to someone recently. I said, you know what, we spend more interaction with the world because we're in the world, right? Jesus said, Lord, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you do what? Keep them from the evil that is in the world. So we're going to be in the world. We can't go out of the world, but can God keep us from the evil that is in the world? So we're going to read verses 1 through 8 of Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, I'm sorry. Do we all have it?
Yeah.
And for those who do not have it, it's where? It's on the screen. So let us start. Verse 1 reads, Father, that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Their hearts may be comforted, being what?
Knit together in love.
Love is what it's all about. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And yes, we know that mystery is Jesus, in whom I hear all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word in the church, saying,
Word of the Lord, bless
you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So the concern is what influences you the most. Amen. I heard Elder Tesley message about doing what is popular or doing what God would have us to do. Amen. Doing what is popular and doing what God would have us to do. And then I heard a portion of Elder Gibbs' testimony that I never heard before. Amen. I never heard that. He brought up some stuff that I never knew about his history. Amen. His message was, what happened after your heart is broken? Right? After your heart, what do you do after you have a broken heart? Elder Gibbs was very good. But if you didn't have Elder Gibbs' message, because it was a personal testimony for how he overcame. And like I said, I never heard that portion. Amen. And you do well to listen to both of those messages. Amen. But they actually tie into my message about the world. We have been in the world for so long, and the world has tried to usurp its will and authority over us, and we don't recognize at times the things that we do are not the things of God, but they're the things of the world. Amen. And Paul tells them here in verse 4, he says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So the way the devil influences us is with enticing words. Enticing words, the Bible talks about things that tickle our ears. Those are the things we like to hear. So the Bible talks about, actually it's not the Bible, I read once, there's a difference between praise and flattery. Flattery is not genuine, it's not sincere. But praise is genuine and it is sincere. Well, when people try to use enticing words, that is flattery. That is not sincere. The purpose of them using those enticing words is to get the influence of us. So Paul, being the wise man in these things, said, beware. Amen. Be on guard. Be on the look, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Join and beholding your God loves order. Amen. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Then he said that we all have, how many know that if you're saved, you receive some faith in Christ? If you know the Lord, if you walk with the Lord any period of time, if your sins have been washed away, you know the Lord. Amen. So he tells you that now, he talks about the steadfastness in Christ, but he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, you need to do what? Walking in Him. Well, the greatest rival or the greatest challenge, the greatest opposition to us walking in Christ is walking in the world. That is the greatest challenge to the child of God. Walking in Christ is walking in the world. Because the world, the Bible says, is what? Enmity, as we'll go over a little later, with Christ. And then he goes on to explain it a little further in verse 8. He said, beware. Now, when someone beware, that means you have to be on guard. You have to be on the look. You're not passively entering into this. He says, beware, it means you have to have your spiritual senses intact. You have to be keen. Your spirit of discernment has to be in full force. Beware. Don't mean just go through life haphazardly or carelessly, but the scripture said, be sober, be vigilant. This is beware. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he said. Beware. Be on the guard. Be on the prowl. Be on the look for the devil who's on the prowl. And what is he doing? He's seeking to devour the saints of God. Amen? You ever see that? So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Now, philosophy is the love of wisdom, the love of knowledge. Another word, philosophers were part of the Gnostics, and they taught that, we won't go into that. Let's just say where we are, because we get into Gnostics and Gnosis and Gnosticism, we go in a whole different direction. So let's just say it. Beware lest any man spoil you through the love of knowledge. There are some people that have so much knowledge, but they don't do a thing with it. So he said, now you have to beware lest any man, this word spoil means to deceive. And it also means to lead you astray. So he said, what they will do with their knowledge, with their words, they will lead you astray. They will lead you not to walk in Christ, but to walk out of Christ. But we have Christ in us, but their enticing words will lead you away from Christ. And unfortunately, the devil will use anybody, he will even use over the church, to opt to rival or walk, help you to walk in opposition to God, to walk in worldliness. He says, so beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the what? It's not after Christ. After the rudiments of? So what is the influence? Men in the world and not after Christ. So I want to be saved. Lord, I want to do the right thing. I can't listen to Dr. Phil. Who's the other guy that comes on late at night with all those crazy people in church? Dr. Drew and Dr. anything else, and it ain't got Dr. Jesus. Everybody used to be a Dr. Ruth, used to be a Dear Evan, Dear This. You know what? All I need is Dear Jesus. Because all of those are philosophy. Those are all teachings. I mean, the end of is the first. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul addresses it to Timothy a little differently. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe it's the last, at least near the end of chapter 6, he talks about the opposition of sciences. Because this is once again that philosophy which is going against the truth. Go to, actually, I'm going to read a couple of verses before that. Go to verse 17, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now we're talking about philosophy. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. It also can be the love of sciences, because when you don't allow the Bible, we don't allow science to support the scripture, then scientists will use science to oppose the scripture, and then you believe in evolution. And you know, one of the greatest things I heard was a lot of the who are those guys who went up in the Apollo and all those astronauts? I knew it was an astronaut something. A lot of the astronauts, they said when they got up there and they saw, a lot of them didn't believe in evolution until they got up there and saw everything. And when they saw how the world and the universe was all laid out, I read some of their accounts, they said there has to be a God. Because there's no way in the world this universe could have been put together like that. Right. So many of them that were Gnostic and atheists, after they went up and saw it, they said there had to be a God. Amen? Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not, don't trust in that philosophy, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in, who do you trust in tonight? Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in how your works tonight. Ready to distribute means to share or to give, willing to communicate, once again that's sharing, laying up in store for themselves a what kind of foundation? A good foundation. So while you sharing and giving, you live a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He said to old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy, keep that. What is that? The word of God. God is treasure. Amen. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling and the opposition of science. You got to avoid that which will go contrary to God, because the world, the Bible says concerning the world, when you look at the universe and everything that God has put together, amen, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I don't know about science, but the heaven declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his. So no opposition to science can't do nothing against the truth. But the devil, God uses science to prove truth and creation. But the devil uses science to prove evolution and what is not true. So he said, now you gotta keep that which is committed to you, Timothy, and you must avoid the opposition of what should be true. So when we're in God, we walk in truth. When we allow the world to influence Because the world is always in opposition of God or the truth. Well, what do they use? Tradition. What we've always done. Now let's go to Mark chapter 7. And I promise I'm going to stay on course. I'm not going to have any of you all upset that we stay past 10 o'clock. Shut that one up. Hey, man, you know, we're going to stay at a reasonable time, but the true sincerity of it all is we want to do something that's pleasing to God and not what is pleasing to man. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to even finish earlier than I should finish, because I just want us tonight, when we leave, we want to have a readiness of mind. Not just to receive God's word, but a readiness of mind to receive his word. Amen. Verse 1, all the up talks about the Pharisees and how they questioned the Lord. And then verse 5 said that the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the what?
Traditions.
Right? So Jesus is preaching a spiritual godly truth. But the opposition wants to know why you're not walking according to the traditions. I wonder tonight, how many of us are walking in Christ as we have received him and been built up in him? Or how many of us are walking according to the traditions? And we'll go a little further with this, amen? But eat of the elders, but eat with unwashed hands. He, meaning Jesus, answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah, which is the Greek for Isaiah, prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honor me with their, but their, when you walk according to tradition, you just do it according to the lips. But God looks at our hearts. When we live according to the truth of God's word, then we live according to the truth of the heart. But when we don't live according to the truth of God's word, then we just draw nigh unto him with our lips. You ever hear people, they just cry and say, I'm going to do all this for God, and the very next moment you see them, they're doing the same thing all over again. Why? Because they draw near to them with their lips. But the real issue is in the heart, it's far from it. Verse 7 says, how be it in vain do they
worship?
When you're not doing it according from the heart, he said, your worship is in vain. Who says? Jesus. There is no arguing. You might have your own opinion, but it does not change the fact. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me. Well, what is, why is it in vain? I won't go to that scripture. We just stay on course, because then I'll be past my hour. I'm going to say right here. This, he says, in vain do they worship me. What? Teaching the doctrines. The what? God said, told those prophets, he said, you read, but I did not send you. He said, you spoke, but I did not give you a word. That is the commandments of men. So when you're not following God, he said, well, did you hear what such and such said? If it doesn't line up with the scripture in more than one place, because we can all find one scripture. If it doesn't line up with the scripture, don't follow it.
Amen?
Amen. The Bible, the word of God is given to us. Hear a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. God's word supports itself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it said, commandments men for laying aside the
commandment of God.
So once again, we have the enforcers. Either God is enforcing you or the world. Either you've been enforced by the commandments of God, or you've been enforced by the commandment of
man.
Come on, y'all, stay with me. There are only two enforcers. Some people say, well, I'm in the middle. Well, you're in danger, because God's going to spew you out of the mouth. Right? He said you cannot walk in the middle. You got to be on one side or the other. If you want to use the technical term, you say you cannot be lukewarm. You got to be either cold or you got to be hot. You got to walk according to the commandments of God, or you got to walk according to the commandments of men. Amen? First 9 said, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject, think ye may keep. I wonder if we were, don't judge, husband don't judge your wife don't judge your husband, brothers don't judge your sisters don't judge your brother. But if you were to judge yourself right now, whose commandments are you keeping? What are you walking according to? What have you rejected? You know, a lot of times people, I know this is what God wants, but this is what I'm going to do. You just rejected the commandments of God so you can walk according to the, I mean personally, young people, just think about this. Whose commandments are you walking? I know it's kind of bad when you grow up in the world and like one side of the other. I'll tell you a story, a short story. Can I tell you a short story? This ain't about a man, so I can tell a short story. When I was in school, it must have been 9 years old. One time, my mother sent us down, and we weren't bad. I guess we were actors, let's put it that way. Active boys. My mother sent us down, and she read the Bible to us because we were kind of out of order. And helped bring us back in order. She made us sit on the couch and read the Bible. Couldn't do nothing else. But when she read that Bible this one time, there were some scriptures. I was only young. I had to be 8 or 9. When she read those scriptures troubled me. I couldn't understand that. So she didn't realize what she did. After that time, she didn't have to sit down and read the Bible to me. Because I read it for myself. So when I was in the 4th grade, they gave us a New Testament Bible. And I had that New Testament Bible went everywhere I went. From the 4th grade till I got saved. I don't know why I got saved. But from the 4th grade, I took my Bible everywhere. And I read, because I was not ashamed. And even when I was in high school, you know, when you're in high school, I don't know if they do it now, but we used to have a study hall. But in our study halls, we could actually sit down in the lounge and do homework. Well, what I would do when I sit down in the lounge, I would read my Bible. Right. So everybody knew I read my Bible. So their game they played on me one time is somebody, I know I left my Bible, somebody took my Bible and hid it. I was frantic. Right? Somebody said, oh, a Bible? Yes. I was in high school now. I had already had that Bible for 7 years. The same Bible. But I was frantic because somebody took my Bible and hid it. What they did is they passed around to each other and they saw me because I read my Bible every day. And sometimes 3 times a day. Because the Word of God meant that much to me. Right? And was I ashamed? No, I was. I didn't care what they did in school. You know, when I played sports, you know, when they would be doing all their rallies and all that stuff, going crazy, I took my Bible and I went aside and I prayed. All that psyching up stuff I knew couldn't help me. Right? So they would all go in the one room, all the coaches would be screaming and banging on lockers and all that stuff. I was like, I can't do that. I need help. So I went and prayed. Before every basketball game, before every football game, before every track meet. All the way through, even in high school and college. Then I got saved when I was 19, and I don't know how I got rid of my Bible. But what I'm saying is I was not ashamed of God. From the 4th grade on, and I didn't care who knew I read my Bible. I think adults be trying to hide me the Bibles now. The commandments of man are the commandments of God. I'm going to go get to the rest of the scripture. I'll finish off here, I believe. So he says, let's get down to verse 13. All right? Keep your traditions of men, you reject the commandments of God. Verse 13 says, Making the word of God of what? God's word doesn't even have an effect in your life. Well, why does God say, well, God, I believe, I trust you. But what governs your life the most? The word of God or the traditions? You say, well, when you keep it to your tradition, you make the word of God another effect because of your traditions. Right? So God can't, as much as God wants to help you, he won't help you because you won't make a stand for God. You'll be more influenced by the world than you are by God. Now let's go to James chapter 4, and I gotta put on the turbo boosters. Somebody said turbo. Turbo means you gotta speed it up. All right, James chapter 4. Once again, we're dealing with your influences. Are they from God? Are they from the world? Amen. Verse 1 read, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not against even of your lust that you war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet all you have to do is ask. Amen. He said, but then ye ask and receive not, because ye ask that ye may consume it upon your own. Now he gives the real problem. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the world, the influence of the world is what? Enmity with God. Therefore, whosoever would be a, would be the, what's governing our lives? Are we God's, on God's side? Are we an enemy of God? He said, you know why there's so much confusion? Because there's so much disorder? He just said, why there's so much division? Why there's so much fighting? It's because you're following the wrong teachings. Your influences are not from God. Because if your influence is from God, can I squeeze in 5 more minutes? I'm not going to go the way I was going to go. If your influence is from God, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll finish here. My promise. Because if I, as I told Bishop on Sunday, I have notes. But a lot of times I kind of misplace my notes. And then when I have free will, I mess up. Because then I have to shut those scriptures down. Don't go no further. Amen. Because if they flow, I flow. But the essence of the whole issue is this. What spirit is governing our lives? Is it the spirit of God or the spirit of the world? If the world is influencing our, you know, somebody said, well, I praise the Lord to this. The world has an influence on your dress. The world has an influence on your talk. The world has an influence on your walk. The world has an influence on everything if you don't make a concrete decision not to be influenced. So when I decide to do something, I know what I think of it based on what the world will think about me. I just want to please God. Right? So I don't care. I wouldn't tell you what I used to say to get me in trouble, but I'm going to tell you what I used to say to get me in trouble. But what it really means is I just care about God. Right? That's all right. I'm not going to say it. Don't say it. Maybe I'll tell y'all something. You know what? But pleasing God should be our everything. More than anybody else, pleasing God. All right. But Jesus on the Beatitudes, when God is influencing you, said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the blessed are they that mourn, for they shall. Blessed are the meek, for they shall. blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they blessed are the merciful, because they shall. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they. We're just talking about trying to be governed by God's Spirit. Blessed are the. Blessed are the. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. What influences us? Now, yeah, you know, there are times when things go wrong. We can show enough. What is it? Show enough? Show enough. We can show enough at them. Right? That's what praise is, show enough. When things go wrong, we can show enough at them. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. You know, sometimes when your attitude, your temper takes you way up in a hurry, cool off before you do something. Because when you cool off, you're going to say, you know, it ain't much of an issue anyway. Right? Just be a what? Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are for what? I'm doing the right thing, and I'm being persecuted. He said, you're what? Blessed. For theirs is kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say against you. It's not truthful, it is what? Falsely. For it's all about God. Let them do it for whatever reason. It's all about God. Amen. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for what?
Great is your reward
where? Great is your reward in heaven. And then let's jump down a little further. Let's jump down to verse, we know about swearing. Let's jump down to verse 37. We'll finish in these last few verses here. All right, I'm on overtime. Verse 37 says, but let your communication be what? For whatsoever is one of these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it's been said, an eye
for an eye.
That's the world system. You got me, then I'm going. That's the world. You acted ugly with me, I'm going to add. You have heard. He didn't say you're supposed to do it. Ye have heard it been said by them, right? Not for nine too. But I say to you that ye resist, but whosoever shall smite thee on the turn unto them. That's where the rubber really needs to roll. You know why? Because the Lord taught it, but then on the cross he actually did it. What commandments? What spirit is influencing us? Somebody say, yes, they got a lot to work on. You know. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him. Just show I'm going to be on God's side, no matter what it takes. Give him that asketh of thee, and for him that will borrow thee, turn not thy way. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and what I say unto you. Now this is what we're talking about, following who?
Right.
Not the influences of the world. He said, but I say unto you, love. Can we read that again?
Love
who? If you're supposed to love your enemies, what about your own family and household? We just talking about doing either the world is who? Either we do it God's way or we do it the world way. He said, now, I don't have to tell you about your family. To love your enemies, bless them. We're trying to do it whose way?
God's way.
Somebody said, I got a lot to work on.
Yes, sir.
So do I. Because I want to be pleasing in his sight, right? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them. That's what most of the church go reverse. Right there. You did what? Y'all know it's true. Somebody mess with you. Wait until I get my opportunity. What does the Lord mean when you say do good to them? I look at your neighbor. And now y'all know I send my kids, look at y'all like, don't get no kids. Look at your neighbor and say, you're supposed to do good. Come on, huh? You're supposed to do good. To them that hate you. If you're supposed to do good to them that hate you, as we say that ourselves, good God Almighty. What are you supposed to do for them that are supposed to love you? All we're trying to do is somebody say, get it right. I'm tired of doing what man says. I just want to be obedient to God. Amen. I'm finishing here. He said, and pray for them which. You know what? That takes away. This one scripture takes away every excuse that we can come up with. Because we want to walk according to the, I'm going to shut it down. No, but how about we read verse 48? We're finishing 5:48. The whole essence of walking in according to God said, be ye what? Perfect. Be ye, come on, y'all. I can come forward and y'all read it. Be ye perfect. 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect. As we all say. Our greatest desire. Didn't we sing a song, I just want to be like Jesus? Wasn't that the song we used to sing? Lord, I just want to be like Jesus. Amen. If we want to be like Jesus, can we stop following the commandments of men and the traditions of this world? Because the world and man's commandments is diametrically opposed to God. If you want to be like God, you got to, he said, walk ye in Christ as ye have received him. And I think Ephesians 4 says, when we act out of sorts, he said, ye have not learned Christ. It's time for us to be like Christ and stop being like the world. What influence is the dominating our lives? What influence is dominating our conduct? You know, every day I examine myself even before. Because I believe John had it right. John said he must
increase.
And I must
increase.
The problem in church is too many of us are still on the increase. We need to take a back seat, or we need to be subservient to Christ and let him increase as the elders, the ministers come forward, the altar workers, the praise team. It's time to be real with God. You know, one of these days, we're going to all have to stand before God and give an account for the things done in our body. And when we appear before God, you can be assured of one thing. You cannot use the excuse, I did not know. Every day, our greatest desire should be to be like